I've got something special today. You know what I love is when I do stuff like this, some of y'all look really nervous. Today, we're going to start with a test. Everybody up for a test?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We're gonna do a Bible Heroes quiz, okay? So I want you to look at the picture, and then we're going to identify the Bible hero. Okay, now who's this? Like all together?
David.
Exactly. How do we know it's David? Because he's standing on Goliath's chest there. Okay. Yeah. Moses. Exactly right. How do we know it's Moses? Yeah, he's holding the... You know how hard it is to Google Moses and not come up with Charlton Heston? It took longer to find Moses than anybody. All right, who's this?
Abraham,
exactly right. Abraham, as he was preparing for the test of the Lord with his son Isaac on the altar. Who's that?
Jesus.
You know what's really funny is that's nothing but a face. But everybody just got it right away. Didn't have to have any other cues for that one. All right. Okay, this is from last week. Who's this?
Paul and Silas.
Paul and Silas. Yeah, we got a couple that have last week's bulletin. Paul and Silas as they were praying in the prison. All right, last one. We have this guy. Now, the smart alecks among you, when I say, who is this guy? What'd you say?
Looks like Dan.
Dan? Yeah, I knew the smart alecks would say that, some guy in his bathrobe. But those of you who have this week's bulletin can look at that and say, that is Barnabas. We're letting this guy be Barnabas. And I'm going to read now from God's holy word, the Acts of the Apostles. Please stand as you are able. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 36th verse, the word of the most holy God says this. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And then going to chapter 11, verse 23. When he came, he being Barnabas, and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we looked through the slides of the biblical heroes, we don't know what any of them look like, but we didn't have too much trouble identifying their pictures because we have the stories of all their great and heroic deeds. So when we had a giant laying on the ground, we knew that picture of that young man had to be David. And then when we saw Abraham with the altar there, preparing to sacrifice his son, which the Lord, by the way, did not allow to happen. It was just a test. We knew because Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel, and that kind of faith was what helped God form him into that nation. We know the stories. We don't have any idea what Moses looked like. He probably did not look like Charlton Heston. But we know him from the pictures. I had a whole bunch to choose from. If I'd have had a man standing before the Red Sea and it parting, we would have known it was Moses. If we had a man standing before Pharaoh, we would have known it was Moses. If we had a man that had just thrown his rod down and it had turned into a snake, we would have known it was Moses. And we definitely know that the man standing there holding the Ten Commandments carved by the hand of God into stone, we know that that's Moses. We knew the face of Jesus just from the face because it is pictured as we are used to seeing it pictured, a face full of love and grace and peace. And so we could pick up on that right away. Even if it didn't look like the Jesus that, you know, you've seen in other pictures, you knew right away who that was. And like I say, the picture of Paul and Silas, there's no account anywhere else in the Bible of two men sitting in stocks in a prison praying and singing. So we knew that's who it had to be. And then we come to our boy Barnabas. With the exception of Christ, my favorite person in all the Bible is Barnabas. I love Barnabas. He's just like in and out, in and out. A sentence here in the New Testament, a sentence there in the New Testament. Just little snippets of the life of this man. We have no tales of great heroic deeds. He never slew a giant. As far as we know, he didn't write any of the New Testament. There is a possibility that he wrote Hebrews, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews. As far as we know, he didn't travel huge, great distances. But Barnabas is the reason that we have so much of the other. Barnabas was a good man. His name actually is Joseph. He was from Cyrene. He was a Levite. He came to the apostles after Christ's death and resurrection. He came and he believed and he joined that group of men and women who were establishing the first church. And his personality was such, and his gifts and graces were such, that they changed his name. This is one of those few occasions when God didn't change. You know, we have a lot of people times where God changed somebody's name. He named Saul and he changed it to. He changed Abram to. He changed Sarai to. God changed some names. But this is one where the apostles just thought this guy was so uplifting that they named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you were so encouraging that it actually caused people to change your name? If encouragement had a child, he would have been this man Joseph. Barnabas. And in the 11th chapter of Acts, he goes to Antioch and he's looking because he's heard these stories about the things that are happening there and the church that is starting there. So they send him over to check it out. And he gets there and he sees what's going on. And he rejoices with them and he tells them to keep the faith. And he does what Barnabas does. He encourages them. And since he's, you know, like I say, one of my Bible heroes, I thought, what made this man so encouraging? Because let's face it, most people are pretty discouraging. If you monitor yourself, you will find that most of the things you say out of your mouth are negative rather than positive. It's just the truth. We're like that. We tell ourselves negative things. We tell other people negative things. If somebody asks how you are, the first thing you want to tell them is all your aches and pains and, you know, how bad things are with your kids. And am I right? Yeah, there's a few. I wouldn't expect Betty to do that. But do you know a lot of people like that? That the first thing out of their mouth is the negative. Or as my daddy would say, he'd complain if he got run over by a new Cadillac. There's some people that can find the cloud in every silver lining. And most of us have a lot of negativity around us, and then it permeates us, and then instead of being the salt and light in this world, we become just another little piece of darkness. But Barnabas wasn't like that. And I thought, why then was he like that? And how can we be like him instead of like the world? And I found it says there's always three. I don't know why, but there were three things in this. And it said first that he was a good man. Now, what does it mean when you say somebody's a good man or a good woman? What do we mean? Well, when the young man came to Jesus and called him good teacher, he said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." So, do we have kind of a contradiction here in the Bible? No. Because what it was talking about in that instance was Jesus was talking about the perfection of God. This is not talking about perfection. This is talking about the striving toward perfection. Since he was a Levite, we know that he knew the Old Testament law, that he knew God's commandments, and he kept them. He was a moral, ethical person. He was good. He was moral. He was ethical. Do y'all find it hard to be ethical in this world? It is. It is, and it'll sneak in some of the, you know, the craziest ways. You know, it is hard to speak truth in these times. Because like the Bible said, people have itchy little ears. They want to hear the truth. They want to hear something that makes them feel good. Make me feel good. I saw a television show. It's amazing to me how God speaks to me. And he speaks to me in some of the weirdest ways. But I was listening to this TV show. And this person asked a question and didn't like the answer that they got, because it was the truth, and looked at that person and said, "Couldn't you lie just once just to make somebody feel good? Couldn't you lie just once just to make somebody feel good?" It's hard to be ethical. It's hard to tell the truth. It's hard to be honest in all your dealings. But what Barnabas did would stand in the light of day and in the light of Christ. Never do anything that won't stand the light of day that you wouldn't care if anybody knew, and don't do anything that will not stand in the light of Christ. add to that, he was a generous man. One of the first stories we have about him when he's being first introduced into the Bible, they talk about him selling some land that he had and giving that to be distributed, give it to the apostles so they could distribute it to the poor. So people would have clothing and shelter and food. He was a good guy. Have you ever really been encouraged by somebody that wasn't a good person? It's just almost impossible. If you're not a good person, in this definition of good, moral, ethical, generous, okay in the light of day, in the light of Christ, if you're not that, you can't be an encourager. Because if there's darkness in your life, you can't shed light into somebody else's. And it said he was full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be full of the Holy Spirit. Now that's an interesting comparison, isn't it? Drunk with wine, or full of the Holy Spirit. So being full of the Holy Spirit must have some parallel. So you think about that, and it's just like, what happens? Now, I know no one here has ever been drunk. Yeah, I hear that nervous laughter. But you've seen somebody at some point. When someone is inebriated, when somebody's full of wine, then they throw off their inhibitions, don't they? It gives them the excuse to do things they'd like to do but wouldn't do if they were sober. They throw off their inhibitions. They get bold. It's kind of like a Chihuahua taking on a Great Dane. It's just some of the craziest stuff you've ever seen. But emboldened. I think that full of the Holy Spirit made Barnabas a bold man. Not a knock you over bold. A stand up for what I believe bold. And the one thing that we know he did is he stood up for the underdog. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. He stood up for the ones that nobody else stood up for. And then the other thing is he saw potential. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the ability to discern. He could see in other people what nobody else could see. Paul took John Mark on a journey with him and Barnabas. And he said, you know, Mark gave up on us. Said Mark went home. We don't know why. It obviously wasn't that he was sick or there was an emergency at home. He wore out. It was more than he bargained for. Whatever the reason, he left. And Paul was the kind of guy that didn't have time for somebody that wasn't with the program. So he said, you know, I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him again. He let us down. I don't trust him. Not going to do it. Which is amazing to me because the only reason that Paul got to the apostles in the first place was that Barnabas went to Paul and introduced him to the apostles. He was the only one that wasn't afraid of this guy that used to be holding the coats while Stephen was stoned to death. This guy that was arresting Christians and throwing them in the dungeon. This guy that was getting people fired from their jobs. This guy that was getting people thrown out of the synagogue and turned away by their own families and their own people. And Barnabas took up for him and went to him and said, You know, I've talked to this Saul guy. We need to get to know him. I think he's okay now. But yet, Paul wouldn't do that for Mark. No second chances for Mark. Barnabas was a guy of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. I think he was a lot like God in that. He's one of those people that just didn't give up on somebody because he saw their potential. Because of him not giving up on John Mark is the reason we have the Gospel of Mark, the first of the Gospels written. And even eventually, Paul said, well, he's sitting in prison. He said, and when you come, bring Mark. He's useful. He's useful. But that wouldn't have happened without the encouragement of Barnabas. And he said he was full of faith. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. You know, faith is really only one thing. It is persistently living what you believe. That's what faith is. Persistently living what you believe. Faith is not giving up. It's easy to give up. Oh, it's so tempting to give up. It is so tempting to give up because you get tired and you get weak and you get fed up. And when you start getting tired, I don't know, I realize that everybody's like this but me, but when you get tired, you get a little irritable. And it's so easy to get irritable with God, isn't it? You're fighting something, and you're working, and you're working, and you're working. You might be fighting a disease. You might be fighting depression. You might be fighting some relationship problem. You're fighting all these things, and you fight, and you fight, and you get wore out, and you say, you know what? God's not doing his part. And we get a little irked. It's okay. God can handle you getting irked with him. He can handle that. But just think about it. It's so easy to just throw up your hands and say, I'm done. How many people have done that with their relationship with God? I've had people tell me that I'm not going to go back to church because I had a bad experience. Which, you know, I'm sure was true because, let's face it, there are people in church. You know what I used to say when I worked for the University of Tennessee? This would be a good place to work if the students weren't here. Church would be a great place if we didn't have people in it. People are not perfect. And some of them are just out and out mean. Some are mean people. Even in church, not this one. But there's some mean people every once in a while in a church. And people tell me, I'm not going back to church because I had a bad experience. Well, folks, where could I go if I didn't go anywhere I'd had a bad experience? If I eliminated all the places I've had a bad experience, I don't know where I could be. I couldn't go home. Let's see, when I was working, I definitely couldn't have gone to work. I'd have never been able to go in my boss's office when I was working in the secular world. When, let's see, I couldn't have visited any of my relatives.
I couldn't drive anywhere.
I'm not sure that there's a grocery store in this town I could go in. I'd starve to death. Because there's very few places on the planet I've not had some bad experiences.
You know, Ross. I'd shoot myself. It's just that way. But it's easy to give up. I'm not gonna go there anymore. I'm not gonna see that person anymore. I'm not gonna fool with this anymore. Because it's easy to give up. But that's not faith. Faith is living at what you believe persistently. You want to be a Barnabas? Would you like to bring some light into people's lives? People in this church have encouraged me so much. And I know this is a shock to you, but there's every once in a while I've wanted to give up too. There's been those times. When Gary died, I wanted to give up. I wanted to give up. But my faith wouldn't let me. When Rick and I were getting a divorce, I wanted to give up. But my faith wouldn't let me. There's been a couple of committee meetings I wanted to give up. But my faith won't let me. Because, see, folks, while I do have a modicum of faith in everybody here, I have faith in this group of people. I have ultimate and absolute faith in the Lord God. I have absolute and ultimate faith in Jesus Christ, who is going to make it work. Full of faith. My faith's not perfect. Yet. I'm striving for it. But I could not encourage you if I did not have some of these qualities in me. You cannot encourage others unless you have these qualities in you. So I have to strive. I'm not Barnabas yet. I'm working on it. You need to work on it with me. Because the world will tear down the people that we love without encouragement. Someone has encouraged you or you wouldn't be here. It's that simple. I hope you had encouraging parents. Not everybody did. I hope your families lifted you up, but not everybody's had that either. I hope that your spouses have lifted you up. I hope that you have had experiences with your children that have lifted you up. I hope you have had experiences in church that have lifted you up. Because God uses people. Let's be the people that God uses and lift up a fallen world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.